Can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. And this is our Congregational Sunday. Congregational Sunday, it's an exciting time to be talking a little bit more about who we are as a church, our vision. We get some clarity on our vision. We're going to get some updates from our ministry leaders. And this past week, of course, it was a holiday season, so we were a little bit light on some of our staffing this week. And so we are taking shifts for some front office shifts that man the phones and the doorbell and things like that. So it was my turn. I was on the shift in the front office and I got a phone call. And so I picked it up and somebody had a question about changing their banking information on our website. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. So I passed it, of course, on to somebody that did. But before we did that, this member said, yeah, it's for like our moving on up thing that we do. I'm like, moving on up? What is she talking about? I'm like, oh, you mean on the move, and that's our building fund campaign. That's what you're talking about? Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And I said, you know, moving on up, I don't know if we're going to the east side, west side, I don't know where we're going, but not quite that. And we had a good laugh about it, and then I passed it on. But it reminded me of a sort of an age-old, time-tested principle of leadership, which is this: vision leaks. Vision leaks, that it doesn't take much for the vision of the church or vision in your life or vision in your company where people start going, yeah, what is that about again? What are we doing? You know, there's so many messages coming to us constantly. I mean, it's hard enough to remember what I preached on last week. Of course, all of you know what I preached on last week, right? Just go like this, yes, Pastor, we remember. But let alone a year ago when we launched our On the Move vision. And it's part of the reason why we do these congregational Sundays. So at least twice a year, once in the spring and once in the fall, we clarify the vision again. We hear from our ministry leaders how we're living out that vision in real time. And so that's what we're going to be doing. Also, we recognize, as maybe some of you know, we've grown by 15% since last year in our attendance. So that's at least 15% of you that never even really heard about this. So you're hearing it for the first time. And so we all need to be refreshed. And so that's what we're going to do a little bit today. We're going to refresh ourselves, particularly revisiting a parable of Jesus that really sets the tone for our entire On the Move vision for our church. And so that's where we're going to go in Matthew chapter 25 to check that out. Now, if you're kind of new to the Bible or new to parables of Jesus are sort of stories of Jesus that were ordinary stories from everyday life that explained a truth about our spiritual lives or our eternal life, okay? And so that's essentially what a parable is what Jesus is going to share with us here. Let me introduce the story, and then we're going to pause, okay? So Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, that is the kingdom of heaven, is what he's talking about in context. Jesus says, will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and he entrusts his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability, and then he went off on his journey. Now let me pause here and say that what was in front of these servants was an opportunity of what I like to call a holy moment. Do you guys know what a holy moment is? A holy moment in our lives are things that God brings to us that are sort of fork in the road moments, either sink or swim. You know, are you going to step out in courage or are you going to shrink back in timidity? And these moments happen in all of our lives in one way or another. Let me kind of help illustrate it this way by sharing my favorite movie of all time, my favorite scene in my favorite movie of all time, which is The Matrix. Can I get an amen? Were you millennials out there especially? That's right. Thank you. God bless you for that. One of my favorite movies, and of course, you probably are thinking about the same scene. It's that scene in The Matrix of Morpheus and Neo where Morpheus presents Neo with a blue pill in one hand and a red pill in the other hand. And the blue pill represents, you know, going back to life as it was. You know, go back into this false reality, into this comfort that you know, and just forget we ever had this conversation. But the red pill, well, the red pill represented the unknown, the risk, the real world that he was about to be exposed to. And the question is, Neo, which of these two are you going to choose? And before he chose, he hesitated for a moment. And I'm sure in that moment, out of fear, the unknown, what's going to happen with my life? I mean, what do I choose? And then he finally chooses the red pill. And of course, off to the races we are with the rest of the movie. And his life and the world is never the same after that. That is what we might call a Hollywood holy moment, right? But in the same way, God gives us, as followers of Christ, these holy moments, minus the cool shades and, you know, the blue and red pill. He presents us these same moments, these moments where he's calling us to step up or shrink back. It's the stories of the Bible. It's the burning bush moments. It's the Peter, come out and join me on the water moments. It's the hand of the plow and don't look back. It's the take up your cross moments of the scriptures. These aren't just for the people in the Bible, you know, those extraordinary people. They're for us here today as well. If you are a Christ follower, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, that moment is a holy moment, fork in the road moment for you, where you said, I'm choosing to follow Jesus. I'm going to trust him with my eternity. I'm saying, you know, goodbye to my past. I'm going to not live according to the way I used to live. I'm going to walk in obedience to God. That's a holy moment. But they don't stop at our conversion. They continue in our life. Maybe it's a moment you sensed, you know, the Spirit calling you to step into a calling to lead in a ministry area or to volunteer somewhere. And you wondered, I don't know if I'm qualified. I don't know if I can make the sacrifice. And in that moment, that's your opportunity. Are you going to step forward in faith and step into your calling, or are you going to shrink back into safety? Maybe it's a moment of generosity where you sense God calling you to make a big financial change in your life. And, you know, it doesn't make sense on paper. But God is saying, okay, this is your moment. Are you going to trust me with your finances? Maybe it's the moment when you see somebody in crisis or in pain, or there's an opportunity and you hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit, hey, step up. This is your opportunity. You serve this need. You take the risk. You bring the gospel into a difficult or dark place. Maybe it's a strong conviction that it's time to confront a destructive habit in your life. And God's presenting you with this opportunity. We all have these. It's a choice. Are you going to surrender, or are you going to go back into perceived safety and status quo? This is precisely the moment that this parable is trying to point out. It's the moment in this parable of the talents where these three servants are faced with their holy moment. What will they do? Will they step out in faith, or will they shrink back? And then Jesus is going to speak to us here today individually, but then also as a church collectively. What are we going to do with our holy moment? So there's three scenes here. Let me remind you what they are: the master's invitation, the servant's response, and then the master's return. There's like the three scenes of this parable. So let's look at the first one, the master's invitation. Again, verse 14, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and he entrusts his wealth to them. To one he gives 5 talents, to another 2 talents, another one talent, each according to his ability, and then he goes off on his journey. Now, a talent was an enormous sum of money. Many scholars believe this was represented 75 pounds of gold, which would be like a modern day equivalent, depending on the gold market, of around 2 million. Like, okay, let's just call it 2 million. So a talent is an enormous sum of money. This is $16 million that he's entrusting of his estate to these three servants. This is no small amount of money. And notice, this is not windfall. This is not hitting the lottery. This is not, let's go dig, you know, a in-ground pool in the backyard and, you know, chillax on a floaty with a Mai Tai. That's not this moment. This is not windfall. This is stewardship. Notice the word entrust there. I'm entrusting this to you. The expectation is that you're going to take this and you're going to invest it. You're going to build the kingdom of the master, right? We get that? This is the expectation. So what will they do? Will they take the risk? I mean, it's going to take time and skill and challenge. Are they going to take the challenge, or are they going to sit on it? This is their moment. Let's see what the servants do. Verse 16, the man who received 5 talents went at once, he put his money to work, and he gained 5 talents more. Verse 17, so also the one with 2 talents, he gained 2 talents more. So two of these investments, they face this holy moment, this fork in the road, and they step up with faith. And I love the words there. They went at once. There's no procrastination. There's no hesitation. There's not, let's like weigh my options. It's like, no, 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 we're doing it. We know what the master said. Let's go for it. Third servant, however, verse 18, he dug a hole and he buried his talent. $2 million right into the ground. You say, why in the world would he have done that? Well, he did it because he was afraid. He did it because he loved comfort and safety more than he loved risk. He was afraid, well, what if it doesn't work out? What if it just takes too much of my time? Yeah, I don't know if I want to do that. It's not worth it. I'm going to just maintain status quo. I'm going to circle the wagons here. So the master returns. Verse 19, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Two of the servants who grabbed a hold of their holy moment by the horns, they bring their talent, they bring the double return of investment to the master, and the master replies with these words that if you are a believer, these are the words that you should be living for. Verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I'm going to set you over much. Enjoy, enter into the joy of your master. And what is the reward? Essentially, what Jesus is saying here is the reward for you is going to be internal, an invitation into eternal joy, a purpose-filled, enduring life of impact. So if you've been living long enough, you know that this is true. The greatest joy that you will ever experience is not a week vacation in the Caribbean. That's happiness. And if you're like me, after about 4 or 5 days, I'm like, all right, I'm ready to get back. I'm done with this, okay? I'm ready to get back. That's happiness. That's fun, right? But that's not what where you find enduring joy. Where do you find enduring joy? You find enduring joy in doing hard stuff, don't you? In taking risks. And getting gritty and seeing something, a project that you feel called to, like, this is something God gave me. I'm going to make this risk. I'm going to trust the Lord with it. And then you get to experience the fulfillment of that. That's where eternal joy is. That's where everlasting joy is. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, this is what you can expect for eternity, this sense of purpose-filled life. See, I don't know why we have in our American culture this vision of heaven is, you know, we're going to be on these clouds, we're going to have these wings, we're going to be playing harps. Where do we get that? That sounds miserable. I don't want anything to do with that. If that's heaven, well, let's just say that's not heaven, okay? That's not what the Bible describes heaven to be. The eternal state is one of purposeful, meaningful, good, fulfilling work. We will do things that matter for ages and ages to come, and that's where ultimate joy is found for these servants. What about the third servant? Well, suffice to say, the third servant misses out. He does not experience that everlasting joy. He suffers enduring a loss away from the master and away from his presence and his kingdom. And the question is, okay, what is Jesus saying to us through this parable? And it's really simple. He's telling us something critical about who he is and what he rewards. God is a rewarder. Hebrews tells us this. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, who carry out his business by faith. That's the kind of faith that he rewards. Those who face the unknowns, those who face the risks and the challenges, who say no to an easy, comfortable life, and they invest themselves, their time, their talents, their treasures, in the kingdom of God. That's what he's after. You know, we face our holy moments as well. You face holy moments. Our church in our 55-year history has faced many holy moments. We faced one in 2021. It happened when we paid off our church debt, which at the time really seemed like a miracle considering the hole we had dug ourselves at the time. And we were debt-free, and we celebrated. It was an awesome thing to celebrate. We, you know, we celebrated with thanksgiving to the Lord. It was amazing. And our leadership team, and I think the church collectively took a big sigh. You know, oh, that felt really good to get that weight off our back. But then an interesting thing happens in a moment like that, because as a leadership team, we go, okay, well, God, what do you want to do next? Are you calling us to just sort of put the car into cruise control, you know, the church in cruise control, and let's just sort of chillax for a while, let's kind of coast on our success in the past, or are you calling us to something greater? Are you calling us to a holy moment of risk? And we had a choice in that moment. God gave us a new vision. What will you do with it? What will you do with this investment that I've gave you? Are you going to sit back or are you going to go for it? And friends, once God gave us that vision, we knew we couldn't look back. And last year, we began rolling that out. We called it On the Move. It's a vision that will require sacrifice of our time, our talents, our skills, our influence, our financial resources. And if you're new since November, we want to encourage you to go to our website, brandywine.church/onthemove. Watch those sermons. There's lots of videos that we made. There's a fly-through of a model of some of the building renovations we'll talk about in a moment. And go revisit that. But let me just share with you really briefly the three aspects of the vision that God has given us. First of all, we're building our faith. And what that means is we believe there's an invitation from our master Jesus, like the parable, to make a spiritual investment in building resilient disciples. To that end, we've launched in this last year our men's ministry to build resilient disciples of men. We've restructured our Christian education ministry with that very same purpose at 10 a.m. We prepared to launch life groups. We're going to be launching those in January. You'll be hearing more about that. But it's going to focus on a resilient discipleship track. So it helps us each take a step, that next step in our journey with the Lord. We're continuing to invest in our next generation ministry. You'll be hearing from two of our next gen leaders, Pastor Matthew and students, and Christy Pulig, our director of our children's ministry, Brandywine Kids. You'll be hearing about them and an opportunity, particularly an opportunity to be able to invest in our children where there's a big need. You'll be hearing Christy talk about that a little bit more. Second prong of this vision is reaching our community. We believe that the invitation of our master Jesus is to make a missional investment with the gospel of Jesus Christ here in our community. That is sharing the gospel and declaring the gospel and demonstrating the gospel with those around us. And so we hired Megan Price as our go-director that's helping us continue to take that next step. We're solidifying, going deeper with existing partners in our community, like Foster Well and Sunday Breakfast Mission and Urban Promise and many others as well. This past Go Week in the spring, we had our greatest turnout that we've had so far to serve our neighborhood. We're looking to go deeper and farther with that in the spring this coming year. But we want to challenge you to get involved in that, to invest missionally. Who do you know that is far away from God, or it's been a while since they've connected, reconnected spiritually? Invite them in. Invest in them, invite them, especially during this season. Then the third is shaping our future. And this is an invitation from our master to make a financial investment in the renovation of this facility into our church for generations to come. And I'll just hit a couple of the highlights here. We're looking to take this entire east wing and turn it into a children's wing. One secure, well thought out space for kids to be able to learn about Jesus and become resilient disciples. We're looking to double our entry-level community space, which is the lobby and the space over to my left as well. It'll have indoor and outdoor space for community and fellowship before and after the services and even through the week. We're bringing the coffee bar upstairs. Lots of other needed renovations, old carpets, walls, bathrooms, tile work, underutilized spaces, external parts of our facade on the building, all those kinds of things to create a more welcoming, useful building that facilitates ministry. Because ultimately, facilities facilitate ministry. And that's what this renovation is all about. Now, I won't steal any more of Pastor Todd's thunder. He's going to be talking about some of that in the minutes to come. But be encouraged. And I'm encouraged because as we've gone out with this vision in our holy moment, you've responded. You said, yes, we want to join you in that. We're excited about what God is doing here and inspires me. So it's a privilege to lead you. It's a privilege to be led by you, and I'm excited about what God has for us. If you haven't yet joined that, we want to invite you to join in on that, because one day our master will return, and we will hear those same words. Will you hear those words? If you know Christ, if you're called to his mission, you will hear these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've taken the little that I've given you, and you've been faithful. Man, I'm about to give you so much more. enter into the joy of your master. I hope you'll do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to join your mission. And I know it's, for some of us, that's terrifying. It means a risk. It means stepping out in the unknown, not knowing what you're going to do. But Lord, we're trusting that you've already gone out before us. You see the beginning from the end. Your spirit has only gone before us. You guide us as a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, by your spirit. So Lord, help us to chase after your vision of where you already are. We trust you with it. In Jesus' name, amen.